Today I'm going to be speaking to you about one that we wouldn't normally think about. Pastor David and Yvette, when they were on vacation back in July, the 1st of July, they heard a message that just absolutely resonated with them, and each of them separately sent me an email saying, "Pastor, you've got to hear this word, and it would fit well with the series that you're doing." Well, it's taken me from July to now to fit it in here, and it is called the favor principle. Sometimes bad things happen in our lives because we're walking in the favor of God. Now, we're going to be talking to you today about the favor of God principle. And I'm going to share some things with you that we learn about the favor principle that you might not think of, but they're things that we certainly want to have in our life. So let's look at our text for today from Exodus chapter 33. In Exodus chapter 33, here's what the Bible says. This is Moses talking to God as a friend talks with a friend. And Moses says, "How then can it be known that I have found what?" Somebody help me.
Favor.
How can it be known that I have found favor where? In your sight. How many of you like to have favor of God? How many like to have favor in the sight of God? How many of you like to know that when you leave here today, that you leave here walking in the favor of Almighty God? So Moses asked the question, not only for myself, he says, but I and your people. How can all of us know that we are walking in your favor? Is it not by what? You're going with us. Is it not by going with us? This is how we'll know that we're walking in favor. What is the favor of God? The favor of God is the guarantee of God's presence in your life. The favor of God is the guarantee of God's power in your life. The favor of God is the guarantee of God's provision for your life. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
How can I know? How can I know that I've got the guarantee of your presence? How can I know that I've got the guarantee of your power? How can I know that I've got the guarantee of your provision so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? Now get this. When you're walking in the favor of God, it sets you apart from all other people on the face of the earth. How many would like some favor today? Say amen.
Amen.
When you have the favor of God, it's the heart of God that gets turned towards you and on you. And it's not just something that you feel. It's not just something that you know. But wherever you go and whatever you do, people that see you say, "There's a person walking in favor. There's a person, there's something exceptional about that person right there." Now, how many of you would like the children of truth to have favor? How many of you like the children of truth to know the favor of God in proportions like you are just now beginning to learn? That's one of the things that we're going to see about in this. Well, there's seven quick principles that I want to call to your attention. And the good thing about you today, for you today, is there's not a lot of sub-points to the points, all right? Here's the first thing that I want to share with you, and that is that we need to comprehend God's favor. We need to take and let the divine aid of the Holy Spirit help our spirit comprehend some of the totality of the favor of God. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 13, Moses says, "Let me know your ways." And then what are the next two words after ways? Remember, we see that so many times. So that. That's a purpose statement. That's a reason. That's a transition clause. That's what he says, "Let me know your ways so that I may" what? "Find favor in your sight." What is the favor of God that Moses was wanting to have? Now, this conversation is taking place right after Moses had come down from Mount Sinai. When he'd come down from Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments from God for the faith and the order of faith for God's people. And when he came down off of that mountain, he found Aaron, leading the way of the people to worship a golden calf, an engraved image of a God they could not see, in a drunken orgy. And Moses got so upset, he just broke the tablets of stone themselves, and Moses goes back to a place called the Tent of Meeting. And the Tent of Meeting is where God would manifest His presence, and God would manifest His glory, and God would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend. And your Bible says that Joshua would go with him to the Tent of Meeting, and Joshua would park himself at the doorway to the Tent of Meeting. And when Moses would leave the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, and Moses would leave to go back to talk to the people about what God had talked to him about, you know what your Bible says Joshua did? Joshua said, "I won't leave." Oh my goodness, he just was saturating himself in the presence of God and all that he'd seen and all that he'd heard. That's where this conversation is taking place. It's in that tent of meeting. And here God has told Moses that I am not going with you on the rest of your journey. I'm so heartbroken over the sin of these people that I am not going to go with you to the promised land. You're going to go to the promised land. You're going to get all that I said you could have, but my presence isn't going with you. But I'm going to send an angel to go with you. And Moses is saying, that's not good enough for me. I appreciate the angel. I'm sure he's a good one. It probably isn't the best one he got, but it's a poor substitute for the presence of God. And Moses was saying, the one way that I can know that the rest of this journey is going to be worth it is that if your presence is going with me. And if your presence isn't going with me, I don't want to do your will. Now that's pretty bold talk right there to God. God, I know what your will is, but I don't want to do your will if your presence isn't going to be with me. If your favor is not going to be in my life. If your presence isn't going to be with me. If your power is not going to be with me. If your protection is not going to be with me. If your provision is not going to be with me. I don't want any part of it. But if you'll give me your favor, I know I'll have all that and then some. And so then he's asking God for his favor. What is the favor of God? How will you know that you're walking in the favor of God? Moses understood that was the single greatest thing that he could ever have from God in his life, is the promise of his favor. Moses understood that the favor of God was something that you received from God, not something you achieved by walking with God. When you receive something, it's a gift to you. And that's what Moses understood. This is not something that I have to work at. This is not a formula that I can do and hocus pocus, I got the favor of God. We love to have formulas, don't we? Step one, step two, step three, do this, and poof, you get the favor of God. No, the favor of God doesn't come in a formula. It doesn't come in anything like that. It's something that God gives you. And when God gives you the favor, it changes your life instantly for the better from that moment forward. When God gives you the favor, He takes a nobody and turns them into a somebody right there on the spot. When God gives you His favor, He can give you instant prosperity right there in your life. When God gives you His favor, He will close doors that need to be closed. But He'll open doors that couldn't be opened before. And that's why Moses is saying, we got a long way on this journey. Unless I get your favor, I don't want any part of it. How many think you'd like to have some of the favor of God before you leave here today? Well, before I ask you to sign up, there's one other thing that I got to tell you about the favor, okay? So that you understand that you adequately comprehend it. Whenever God's favor was found by an individual, it was a guarantee not only of the presence of God, not only of the power of God, not only of the protection of God, not only of the provision of God, but it was a guarantee that that person's life was going to get harder from that day forward. It was a guarantee that your life was going to get harder from that day forward. Now, how many of you still think you'd like some of the favor of God? Yeah, at the end of your outline, you see several individuals that found the favor of God. Noah found favor in the sight of God. And what was the life of Noah like after he found the favor of God? He had to preach for the next 120 years a message nobody wanted to hear. He had to live a life of separation from the world when nobody else was being separate unto God. He had to live a life isolated from the parties of the world and from the drunkenness of the world and from the addictions of the world, from the perversions of the world. He had to live a life sanctified to God while everybody else was having a party. He was preaching a message nobody wanted to be a part of, but God's favor was all over him. What about Abraham? Abraham found the favor of God. Favor in the sight of God. In Genesis 18, Abraham prayed and asked, said, God, if I found favor in your sight, then don't leave me here today like this. What was Abraham's life like when he found favor in the sight of God? He's had to go and tell Sarah that, you see all of this comfort that you know? We're packing up, we're moving on. Well, where are we packing up, moving on to? I don't know yet. I'll let you know when we get there. Abraham's life didn't get easier. Abraham's life got harder. But he left with the favor of God all over him. What about Joseph? Your Bible says in Genesis 39:4 that Joseph found favor in the sight of God. Joseph was all wrapped up in the favor of God, but yet he spent 13 years in a prison for a crime he didn't do. But the favor of God was more on him there than anywhere else before. You still think you want the favor of God? What about Moses? Moses is asking for the favor of God, and God gave him his favor, and what'd that get him? It let him be the pastor of 3 million whiners. That every single day of their life, they whined, they complained that they didn't have enough of this, they had too much of that, and would to God we'd back in Egypt, least we had this to eat, least we had that to drink. We've been wearing these same clothes. Don't you know they went out of style 2 decades ago, but we've been wearing the same clothes for all this time? And for all of that, Moses got the favor of God. He got the pastor 3 million whiners that didn't believe God for a thing. You still think you want some favor of God? How about Mary? Mary found favor in the eyes of God. And what did that get Mary? It got her being accused of being a common whore. It got her being accused of being unfaithful to Joseph and having such a spell on Joseph that she'd get him to believe a story that she got pregnant with a Holy Ghost child. It got her the first year of her marriage living in isolation. It got her the privilege of when it was time for her to give birth to this mysterious child that Joseph didn't have a thing to do with, that there wasn't any place for her to have that baby than in a stable. But yet the favor of God was all over her. What about Jesus? Jesus grew in wisdom and in the favor of God. And what'd that get him? That got him an old rugged cross. It got him to be beaten and despised and rejected and wounded for our transgressions. But the favor of God was all on him. After all that I've said to you right there, do you have a comprehension of the favor of God? Boy, I want to tell you, the more I comprehend the favor of God, I tell you, I like Moses, I want the favor of God, even if it's a guarantee of hardship. Because when you have the favor of God, you have the guarantee of his presence. You have the guarantee of his power. You have the guarantee of his protection. You have the guarantee of his provision for your life. Amen? So what do we need to do if we want the favor of God? Well, God's favor needs to be comprehended. But number two, we need to pray for God's favor. I believe that we find in the Bible that we need to pray for God's favor. Look at what Moses is doing in verse 13. He understood everything that I just said to you and more. And then verse 13, he says, let me know your ways so that I may find favor in your sight. I pray you, let me know your ways. How many of you today would be willing to begin praying for the favor of God to be on your life so that the rest of your journey here on this earth would be clothed with the presence of God? You would know like you know when you leave here and every step you take, whether you feel Him, whether you see Him, whether you sense Him, that God has given you the guarantee that He's going to be with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Then pray and ask God for His favor. He said, I pray, Lord, let me know your ways that I may know you so that I may find favor in your sight. Are you willing to pray for His favor today? There's a second thing that we need to do. We not only need to pray God's favor, but then when we pray God's favor, we need to also seek God's favor. You know, there's sometimes when we pray for things that we don't continue seeking for what we prayed for. And in verse 16, he says, how? And in verse 13, he prays for it. In verse 16, he asks God a question, how will it be known that I have found favor in your sight? How will I and your people know that we've done that? Lord, I'm not leaving here till you give me a word. Lord, I'm not leaving here till you give me your word. Lord, I'm not leaving here until you tell me like you've told me before that you promise that I'm going to walk in your favor. Can anybody say amen to that today? Are you willing to seek God's favor until God gives you a word that His favor is going to be on you? Well, when you comprehend God's favor, you pray for God's favor. When you comprehend and pray for God's favor, you seek God's favor. But then number four, you then expect God's favor. Oh, verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have what? For you have found favor, where? In my sight. And, look at this, I have known you by name. Beloved, I believe with everything that was in me, from that day forward, Moses began expecting the favor of God. He began expecting the presence of God to manifest itself in his footsteps. He began expecting the power of God to be on him every step that he took. He began expecting that God could open doors that couldn't be opened before. He began expecting that when it came time to cross the next uncrossable river, that God would have already been there for him, preparing the miracle for him. When you are walking in the favor of God, you are walking in miracle ground. When you're walking in the favor of God, you're walking in victory ground. When you're walking in the favor of God, you're walking in the presence and the power of Almighty God, and you ought to be expecting it. Beloved, it's time to get over our low-level thinking. It's time to get over our victimization mentality. It's time to get over the poor is me, woe is me, nothing but bad's going to happen to me, and begin expecting the favor of God to manifest itself in every step of our life. Can somebody say amen today? Well, we need to comprehend God's favor. We need to pray for God's favor. We need to seek God's favor. We need to expect God's favor. And then number five, we need to speak God's favor. We need to speak God's favor. In Luke chapter 2, verse 40, look at what it says about the child. Who do you think the child is? Jesus. Then Jesus continued to grow and become what? Increasing in wisdom. And increasing in what? The favor of God that was upon him. How many of you know that you can grow and the favor can increase on your life? How does the favor increase on our life? Well, the favor is something we receive from God. The doors that begin to open for us open when we demonstrate our faith. You see, favor is activated by our faith and our obedience. Favor is nullified in our disobedience and our unbelief. And so God had given a promise of favor for that entire generation. But that generation, save Joshua and Caleb, didn't get to go into the land that God had promised. Even though God had promised to give them favor, they never activated the favor with faith and obedience. Well, then when Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and the favor of God, a favor with God and with whom? With men. Do you know, and in 1 Samuel chapter 2, you know what it says about the prophet Samuel? that he grew in wisdom and in the favor with God and men. Do you know our children, we need to begin speaking favor into our children. We need to begin speaking favor on to our children. We need to speak words of favor and blessing into our children and to each other. And that our children ought to be the most blessed and highly favored generation that's ever walked on this earth. And God has given parents, God has given grandparents, God has given church brothers and sisters the privilege, the responsibility, the opportunities as covenant relationship to speak blessings into them and over them. And if you're not speaking blessing into them, if you're not speaking blessing over them, then you're releasing curses onto them. And it's up to us to reverse the curses and to replace them with blessing. And we need to be careful with the words that come out of our mouth. Because the words that come out of our mouth have power of life and death. The words that come out of our mouth have the power of blessing or cursing. The words that come out of our mouth can be set on fire from hell. Or they can be set on fire from the Holy Ghost. And when we are walking in favor, we are expecting favor, then we are speaking favor on to our children. Amen? Oh, I tell you, I think we ought to just take a break right now and just start speaking favor towards our children. If you've got a child here right now, if you've got a child somewhere out in the far country right now, let's just stop right now and just to speak favor to our children, to our grandchildren. Father, we thank you for our children. In the name of Jesus, we come. And Lord, we speak favor into their lives. Lord, we speak blessing into their life. Lord, we speak to the child that's in the far country living riotous ways. And Lord God, we speak right now in the name of Jesus for you to release favor into their life. Father, we thank you for the children that are downstairs. And Lord God, we speak favor over them right now. We ask you, Lord God, to release favor onto their life. And Lord, we know that if they follow Jesus, that favor will follow them. And so, Father, from this day forward, may the favor of God follow them wherever they go. May they know that they are a part of the head, not part of the tail. May they know that they are created for blessing, not for cursing. May they know that you are for them, not against them. And Lord, may they be champions in Christ, and may they worship you in spirit and in truth. Beloved, we need to speak God's favor wherever we go. It's one of the reasons when when you ask me how I'm doing, I tell you that I am what? I am blessed and I am highly favored. Now remember, that doesn't mean that my life ain't hard. It doesn't mean that I don't have problems. It doesn't mean that I don't have difficulty. But it means that I've got the power of God in my life. I've got the presence of God in my life and I know it. And sometimes we got to be just like Jesus and we got to let the devil know what we know. And that we are blessed and highly favored. You know, it needs to become instinctive in us. You know, this morning, 1 minute before my alarm was supposed to go off, my phone rings. Well, I'm in that third heaven sleep. You ever been in that third heaven sleep? You usually get there about 3 minutes before your alarm goes off, all right? And I'm thinking it's the alarm. So on my alarm, on my phone, you slide across to cancel the alarm. So I slid it across to cancel the alarm. Well, a voice starts speaking to me. I'm thinking I'm hearing the voice of the Lord. It's a voice I've heard many times. It's the voice of my Father on earth. But he was calling to tell me that my mom was being transported to the hospital, to the emergency room. You see, you know, she's got this aneurysm inside, and when it bursts, that she'll begin to throw up, she'll have a headache, she'll have a backache, and there won't be anything they can do for her, that when that time comes, her life on this earth is over. Well, that's what she was saying, that's what Dad was saying, that this might be it. But you know what happens whenever you have a crisis that comes? The Holy Ghost will come and say, this ain't it. This is not it. This is not unto death. And don't be afraid. And so even when you don't even know what you know what you need to know. And I've got good news to report to you. It was nothing more than a serious virus, and she's already back home. So praise the Lord for that. But we have to speak God's favor. And then number six, let me show you number six real quickly here. We need to recognize God's favor. You know, this it's at this point right here that a lot of people miss out on the next manifest miracle that God wants to give you. That as let me just say this to you here. How many of you, like me, were able to walk into this building today? You ought to recognize the favor of God. How many of you were able to ride in a vehicle here or have a vehicle transport you here? You got some favor on you. Hey, do you have hardships? Do you have difficulties? Do you have oppression? Do you have trials and tribulation? Absolutely. But we need to begin recognizing the favor of God. What did the psalmist say? David says, surely goodness and loving kindness will what? Follow me. Woo! Lord God. Right now, the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the favor of God, the presence of God, the power of God's following you. It's chasing you, and it's all over you, and it's time that we stop and smell the roses and taste and see that the Lord is good and recognize that favor is all over you. If you have found Jesus, then favor is following you. That's what it means to be a child of God. When you become a child of God by grace through faith, then the presence of God is going to be with you. God has made you a promise. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And you got to recognize God's favor. David said, surely goodness and loving kindness, surely goodness and mercy will follow me some of the days of my life. Is that what that says? Woo, glory to God. Speak the truth, church. Speak the truth. You'll know the truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. Oh, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. I want you to know when you get up from here and you get ready to go to wherever God's will take you from here, that you're going to leave with the favor of God following you, wrapped all around you. You might go through the valleys. You might go through trials. You might have mountains in the way, but you'll face them with the presence of God, the power of God, and God can take a nobody, put his favor on him, and do for you what nobody else could ever do for you. And you need to recognize God's favor. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And oh, I like the and. Do you see the and? Oh, and when this life is over, I will live in the favor of God forever and forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Are you recognizing favor on you today? Oh, my goodness. And number seven, let me give you this right here, that we not only need to speak God's favor, but that we also need to, look at this now, we need to find God's favor. Oh, that's what Moses did. Moses found favor. That's what Noah did. Noah found favor. That's what Abraham did. If I have found favor in your eyes, do not pass me by. That's what Ruth did. She was overwhelmed with it. She asked, why have I found favor in your sight? That's what Mary did. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And that's what Jesus did. You see, God's favor is his guarantee of his presence in your life today and in your life forever. Have you found favor? Have you found Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? You know, Wednesday night we had several adults that found favor. Why? Because they found Jesus. You know, today we've got some that God's drawn here, and you know that when you leave here, you won't leave in the favor of God because you haven't found Jesus. Jesus is God who died on the cross for your sins, and he raised from the dead the third day. And right now, he'd step right into your life if you'd ask him to do so. God's favor is when God will do things for you, and God will do things through you that could never be done for you or through you without it. How many would like to find God's favor today? God's favor will give you greater opportunities to do the supernatural than you've ever known before. God's favor will open doors for you that have previously been closed to you. And praise God, God's favor will close doors that you would have gone through if they remained open for you. Thank God for the closing of some doors. Amen? What I'd like for you to do right now, if you're ready to find God's favor, I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. And if you'll stand on your feet, what I want you to do is to put yourself in the best receiving posture that you know how to get in. And what I'd like for you to do is just lift your hands upward, lift your eyes upward, and I want you to repeat this prayer to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I renounce my selfish, natural life, and I receive you and your supernatural life. Now say, dear Lord, I pray that I find favor in your sight today. And Lord, if I find favor in your sight, I ask for your presence. I ask for your power. I ask for your protection. And I ask for your prosperity to go with me from this day forward. Dear Lord, I want to know you. And I want to know your ways. I want to know you personally. I want to know you intimately. Please let my children, let my grandchildren, let my church find favor in your sight today. In Jesus' name, I take Jesus wherever I go.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.